Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Tune in tonight to South Dakota Focus with Stephanie Rissler. The broadcast begins at 8 Central, 7 Mountain. SDPB's Stephanie Rissler joins us now from our studios in Vermilion. Stephanie, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
Before we talk about tonight's powerful South Dakota Focus, let's talk about last week's, because lots of comments coming from viewers of SDPB's SD Focus about the topic that you had. Tell me a little bit about what that show last week was about.
Last week was about the Second Century Habitat Initiative. Now, this is a program introduced by Governor Kristi Noem. It will be managed by our South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks Department with one goal, which is to improve the pheasant population in our state. Now, there are several moving pieces inside of this initiative to help make this happen. One of the issues is to add more wildlife habitat, and they can do this by offering farmers an incentive. That incentive really is, we're going to take some of your acres from your cropland and we're going to put it to seed for cover crop. One of the guests on the show last week, Tony Life, he is the GFMP Wildlife Division Director. He talked in more detail about what that will do for habitat, how that will help pheasants, because both habitat and pheasant populations are down. And here's part of our conversation last week with Mr. Life.
So over the long term, the number of pheasants that we have in our state is going to be determined by the amount of habitat that we have out on the landscape. Over the short term, we're going to see fluctuations in those birds, highs and low, based on different weather patterns,
right,
primarily. But habitat's going to drive that long-term goal. Now, we've seen declines throughout the state. You have to remember we're coming off some really good years in the mid-2000s where we surged to shooting 2 million pheasants in a year at our peak. So it was really good for quite a while there. And this habitat component is the part that's missing on the landscape right now. And those federal farm programs have been reduced. The amount of habitat that comes along with those has reduced our landscape. So what Governor Noem wanted to do was provide a little bit of seed money to get some new programs going within the state of South Dakota, some state-sponsored habitat programs. And that's what this money is going to be, is seed money to leverage federal dollars, to leverage other private dollars, to get some of that habitat back on the landscape and provide a basis for these pheasants to rebound in our state.
So, Stephanie, this is called the Working Land Program. What else did you learn about how it works?
Well, Tom Kirschman, he was on the program as well. He's the Wildlife Division Assistant Director. And he says landowners who do enroll in the program, they can use the land. But in the end, it will improve our habitat, but it also will improve our pheasant populations. It will improve wildlife in general, and he spoke about that as well.
It's going to, number one, develop habitat for pheasants and other wildlife out there, but also gives them the flexibility to use it within their operation, i.e. they could use that cover for grazing purposes after the primary nesting season is over, or for haying. Again, something that is working lands, fits within their operation, that they can get multiple benefits from. From the standpoint of a program like this, we obviously know that we can put something in the ground quickly and have some immediate impact from a nesting cover standpoint. As the program itself, what it looks like is a concept of a five-year agreement with a producer landowner, really going to focus on some of those marginal acres or acres that are don't produce as much of a crop, some low-lying areas that have a high level of salinity, maybe some sandy hills, gravel hills, those types of areas, maybe even some field edges. But there's really a lot of flexibility there for that producer to consider enrolling those acres.
Now, this is part of when Governor Kristi Noem first took office, she talked about, you know, thinking outside the box and making partnerships between state money and federal money and private donors. And tell us a little bit about how the money works when they say seed money. What do those partnerships look like?
Right. Well, the legislature did set aside $1 million for the program. GFMP hopes to match those funds with private donations and some federal dollars, and they'll work on the program, work out some of the details and other outreach throughout the course of the summer. And there's hopes that some acres will be planted to cover crop, actually starting later this fall. So there are a few different moving pieces in terms of the financial reach on this.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. We're talking with South Dakota Public Broadcasting host of SD Focus, Stephanie Rissler. She's joining us from Vermilion, and we're recapping last week's South Dakota Focus. Stephanie, the second part of the initiative that's also been making a lot of news, you've had some conversations about it on this program, is the Predator Control Program. Tell us about that, please.
Right. There are specific species that are included on the list of predators that can be trapped. Kevin Roebling, who serves as the deputy secretary, he came on. He talked about what those predators are and a limited bounty that is on the short list and why. So here's part of his explanation.
There's five egg-eating predators that are on the list. We have raccoon, we have badger, striped skunk, red fox, and opossum. Those would be the five egg-eating predators in the predator bounty program. By no means, you know, do we want to say that if we do this, this is going to increase, you know, nest success across South Dakota. But it will enhance nest success for pheasants and ducks, for that matter. By how much, it's going to be very hard to measure that. You know, and that is really some of the talk across the country is, you know, is this going to be an effective program? It absolutely is going to be effective at getting families outside and actually removing some of those egg-eating predators, 50,000 of those if we do hit the maximum cap of the program. And it will definitely benefit and increase and enhance nest success.
And how does this work, Stephanie, with the trap giveaway?
Well, the department is distributing 16,000 live traps to over 5,000 South Dakotans that want to participate. They'll pay a $10 bounty for up to 50,000 listed predators that are trapped. Those that do trap will have to bring a tail in. They also have to sign an affidavit that said, yes, I trapped this. This was myself that did it. I did not find it dead. It wasn't roadkill. It was so overwhelming that they've actually closed the trapping program for now. But they are looking to see how they are going to continue that as they work into the future and they try to reach that 50,000 mark. Secretary Kelly Hepler was on the program as well. And he talked in great detail about the Nest Predator Program. It's part of the solution, but there are some additional benefits that will come with this that will help get kids outside. Here's part of his conversation.
You know, it's interesting when people say that they think the primary goal is we just want to go out and kill nest predators, and that in itself does help. You know, particularly if I was a hen pheasant, I'd certainly would appreciate a nest predator being gone. And this has been in place now for about 3 weeks, and I think Kevin's going to go through some of the details, mm-hmm. but we've seen some really heartwarming stories of, you know, young people getting out, from we call from the Xbox out to the live box, and actually getting on the ground. And some kids who've never been really outside doing anything, and they've got the parents out there, and it's amazing. You know, and it makes it all worthwhile, because there's been some criticism about this, too, because people try to say, well, this isn't going to solve your pheasant problem in the state. We agree with that. I mean, we need habitat, but this is part of that.
Stephanie, not everyone thinks the program is heartwarming. There's been criticism as well. When you have great engagement on South Dakota Focus with people texting in their questions, what kind of support or criticism of the Nest Predator Trapping Program did you hear from viewers?
In terms of support, we had a lot of farmers that were calling in that wanted to take part or to get more information on how they could take part in the incentive in terms of taking some of their farmland and turning it into cover crops. So there were a lot of questions on how folks could take part in that. We did have some of the criticism come in terms of the trapping. A lot of folks asking questions as to whether it was humane. A lot of folks asking why we were eliminating native species to South Dakota to help a non-native species, the redneck pheasant. Red ring pheasant? That's right. You know, it was a little bit of both. I would say more people wrote in to ask questions, specifically to how is this going to work? How can I get involved if I want to get involved? A lot of people asking about the trapping. If it continues down the road, how can they take part in this? But there definitely was some criticism from some folks that just don't understand this method that they're using. This would be the first in its kind that our guests know of where a state is going to take an incentive like this, an initiative like this, to try to help this particular species,
the ringneck pheasant. The ringneck pheasant.
Thank you. And so, you know, there's really no other state to look to see if they've done a program like this and how it will turn out. Right. We're kind of the pilot program, and there were some questions as to whether we should be that pilot program. But in the end, as Secretary Kepler pointed out, it's law now. It was passed into law by the legislature and the governor. And so their role is to educate people and to make sure people know where to turn to get their questions answered.
Let's talk about tonight's South Dakota Focus. It's been one you've been working on for quite some time. It's quite a powerful conversation. Tell us what's on tap for tonight.
Yeah, you know, and this is one of those team efforts, Lori. You and I and everybody here not very long ago decided we really wanted to put that microscope on abuse and what abuse looks like in South Dakota in terms of our women. And so tonight we are going to focus on domestic violence in our state. We've got some folks to come on to talk about, you know, what those statistics looks like. In terms of injury to women, domestic violence is the number one cause. You know, one in four women involved in an intimate relationship will become a victim of domestic violence. The statistics are alarming. It'll make you look to your friend, your neighbor, your loved one, and take a better look at what's going on around them. Maybe why are they pulling away? Why have they suddenly gotten so quiet? So our guests will talk about the cycle of domestic violence, what to look for, what to say, and obviously the most important thing, where to find help, and how we can all help if we don't know what to do, but we fear someone may be being abused.
And do you have people on your program who have escaped that cycle of violence themselves, who have survived to tell their stories?
We will. We have a brave soul, Sarah Kinvall, will be joining us, and she'll talk in more detail about her circumstance. She was in the news a couple years ago where her partner mutilated part of her body, and she escaped. And today she shares her story with other women to talk to them about what to recognize, how to get out. There is hope and there is help available. She's a mother of two. She will come on to share her story. We also traveled out to Spearfish to visit it's an emergency shelter out there called the Artemis House. And there are local emergency shelters in almost all of our communities. And people don't know this. And it's the best place to turn if you need help, because they know the resources within your own community. Sometimes they know the people involved. If police have to get involved, they're right there. So when we went to the Artemis House, they spoke about the importance of looking to these local shelters. But they also said sometimes these women and children do need to flee, and how even the local shelters can make that happen for those folks in need. And it was an eye-opening interview for us. We thanked them so much for letting us come in, because these are shelters where people don't know their shelters. They don't want people to know their shelters. It is a safe place where these abusers don't know where these women and children go to.
South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Stephanie Rissler joining us from the Vermilion Studios. Tune in to South Dakota Focus tonight, 8 p.m. Central, 7 Mountain on SDPB-TV1. Stephanie, thank you so much. Looking forward to the program tonight.
Thank you, Lori.